You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, the Honourable Megan Woods, Minister of Energy and Resources, announced the third round of the Government Investment in Decarbonising Industry Fund. It will provide $13 million to 15 businesses to help them move away from the consumption of fossil fuels. This morning I spoke with Georgia Piggott, an environmental social scientist from the University of Auckland, and started by asking her if the funding will inspire other businesses to follow suit, even if they aren't receiving that funding from the government.
It could work in a few ways, right? So obviously there's great reasons for them doing this. It's run by the Energy Efficiency Council and Conservation Authority, and they have this mandate of improving energy efficiency. And so, you know, if we can get some of these big hits into, you know, these major industrial polluters, that's a win for the climate. And then, of course, you know, because they're investing in these technologies, that's something that could kind of span on and be spun out to other sorts of companies and other industries. You know, essentially they're kind of putting in the first investment that might make products cheaper to be used for other companies in the future. So that's sort of the way it can help us meet the low carbon goals. But then you have to dig into the projects a little bit more to think, you know, is this actually going to put us on a path towards decarbonisation? And I think that's where you get to a slightly different question. So, I mean, there's two ways of thinking about this investment, right? There's kind of this short-term investment that the government is making in reducing industrial emissions. And so in terms of that end goal, that's a good process to achieve that. But there's also the bigger picture question about, you know, is this money, our taxpayers' dollars, going into making a more deeply low carbon future, that kind of transformation that we want to see? And so when you look down the list of projects, there are questions to be raised about, you know, where that investment is flowing. And, you know, if you look at the list, you know, four of the 15 meat production companies, you know, more than half relate to ruminant agriculture in some way. They're maybe wool companies, fertilizer companies, these sorts of things. And this has come at the same time as the IPCC has just released a report saying we need to be reducing our reliance on animal agriculture and thinking about maybe dietary shifts, alternative proteins and things like that. And so the list doesn't kind of inspire me with a great deal of confidence that the investment is kind of flowing towards industries that are going to build New Zealand's low carbon future. But as a sort of short-term step, maybe it does make some sense to improve the efficiency of these industries.
There are, as you say, sectors like dairy processing and construction, metal manufacturing, meat and seafood processing. They've all been covered in the fund as a whole. So are you saying that do you think that something like dairy farming or meat processing can actually be ultimately sustainable? Like if we implement projects like this in all companies, in all sectors, for example, can we maybe continue eating meat and consuming dairy at the rate that we are? Or is it more about finding different approaches to what we consume?
Look, I think that the industry can be more sustainable, absolutely, and that's certainly what this fund will help achieve. I don't think that we can, through efficiency alone, meet the targets that we need to meet in terms of cutting our emissions. We do need to have some element of dietary shift in there and some element of changing the way we behave and the way we do things. And so, you know, maybe the answer for the government in a fund like this is to match this sort of efficiency funding for the agriculture industry with new bold investments in kind of emerging technologies and make sure that we're kind of balancing the checkbook in terms of who's getting the money. We're not just subsidising one industry, we're providing that money to a range of industries.
Are there any kind of flow-on effects that we might expect other than the possibility of these processes that the government is subsidising maybe becoming cheaper? Will other businesses follow suit? Are there kind of economic runoff effects that mean that these processes are guaranteed, quote unquote, to become cheaper?
No, I would say no, they're not necessarily guaranteed. I mean, the best example I can think is kind of a comparison. If we sort of think about this money as largely flowing to livestock production, is what happened, we saw the way Australia invested in its low carbon future, is it made these big bets on making coal more efficient rather than kind of spreading the money around and like betting on a whole different range of technologies. And so ultimately, they weren't able to reduce emissions from coal enough to offset the climate damage. And so that was just kind of money down the drain in some senses, because now the world has decided to move away from coal. So I don't want to see New Zealand end up in the same position here. And so I think it's important to think about, you know, yes, are we investing in not just, you know, particular things for these companies to go more efficient, which is good, but could these same technologies be expanded and used in other organisations beyond just one industry? In which case, I think, you know, we do have a lot of examples on this list of things that can be in terms of, you know, heat recovery and other processes that, you know, if they do a good job of figuring this out, this can be used in a range of different industries in a lot of different ways. So I think in that sense, you know, it's probably okay to invest in these types of projects. It's just making sure that the bigger goals on climate reduction aren't missed.
In one instance of the funding, just over $1 million was spent to replace a coal boiler with an electric boiler and a temperature heat pump, which the report says, the press release, is estimated to abate an estimated just under 80,000 tonnes of carbon. And I guess it relates to what we've been talking about, but are we getting the best bang for our buck, or are there other strategies that this money could go towards? If you could touch on some of the newer technologies you've mentioned in terms of kind of balancing the checkbook.
Look, I think we sort of have to think about climate change as like we need some quick wins because we need to really start turning the tide. And so, you know, getting rid of coal boilers are quick wins, as you said, large emissions reduction potential. So I'm not disagreeing with that as a strategy. I think that's a good way for the government to go. It's just I would like to see that sort of balanced also with not just supporting legacy industries, but, you know, new investments and you know, emerging industries and giving, you know, new low carbon industries a good leg up on the playing field so that they get a chance to compete. And so as long as the government has that holistic approach, I think it's fine. And I think, you know, we need to be kind of thinking about doing both of those things.
That was me speaking with Georgia Piggott from the University of Auckland about the third round of funding from government in the Decarbonising Industry Fund.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.